I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Greetings, dear friends, and thank you for joining us today. I'm John Lawrence, the Director of Ministries at IBJM, your host. And today I'd like to talk with you about our upcoming four-day focus on Jewish missions, which always takes place in June, usually the last week in June. And this year it will be June 23rd through 26th. And we would love to have you consider attending. If you would like to know more about Jewish missions and Jewish evangelism, it's a great week, 4 days of intensive study of all of those kinds of things about how to reach Jewish people. This year, we have a number of special guests. We have our regular teacher, Brother Howard Rothenberg, who's an IBJM missionary in South Florida. He is Jewish. He's a Jewish believer. Just a very great Bible teacher. And Howard will be coming again this year. And also we'll have Jackie Powell, who is with the Society for the Distribution of the Hebrew Scriptures. And then we have Brother Sam Wilson, who will be with us as well, and as well as many of our people here at the home office who will be teaching various sessions. Brother Mark Oshman, who's our Bible teacher here on this program, he'll be teaching several sessions. So we would invite you to come, and it'll be a really great week. We also have not only the basic track, but we have an advanced track for people who come a second or third time. They can go through an advanced track and get some different sessions and expand upon their knowledge. Now, the cost for this program includes everything. That includes lodging, it includes the meals for the week, and it includes the program as well. But there's one exception to that. We offer the program absolutely free, without charge, to full-time college students, that is, Bible college students, or graduating high school seniors. So if you want to come and you're a student, we would invite you to write to us, and we would be delighted to have you come as our guest at no charge. The program this year includes quite a few new things that Howard Rothenberg will be talking about, the prophet Daniel and the Jewish feasts, for example. And we will have our friend Jackie Powell teaching some basic elements of Hebrew. Another couple that will be with us this year, Geert and Martine Vanderveen, they have a ministry of Bible distribution in several countries around the world, in the Middle East, as well as in Europe, and they're going to be coming and sharing some tips for distributing the scriptures. We're going to have a session on modern anti-Semitism. You know, anti-Semitism is on the rise, and there always seems to be this undercurrent of anti-Semitism in the world, particularly strong in Europe these days. So we'll be having a session on that here. And you know, the four-day focus is a real blessing, and I'd also point out that probably more than half of our missionaries first made contact with IBJM through the four-day focus. So if you're interested in being a missionary, and maybe you are feeling called to Jewish missions, we would love to have you attend this program, the four-day focus, and consider IBJM as a partner for your ministry in going forth as a missionary to Jewish people. The last couple of years, we haven't had too many people interested in full-time missions. It seems to be on the decline in America these days. You can pray that the Lord will send us some potential applicants who will be people who are thinking about full-time missions. We would love to have some of those people attending the four-day focus this year. Again, guest speakers Howard Rothenberg and Jackie Powell and Sam Wilson. We'll also have one of our French missionaries here, Brother Philippe Plouchon and his family. And he'll be sharing some things with us about the work in France. A lot of practical sharing about different ministries of our missionaries who come and are also attending the focus with us. So you come and you be a part of that. If you want more information, you can call Jennifer Beneke or myself here at the mission at area code 423-876-8150. I encourage you not to miss this opportunity to learn more about Jewish missions and evangelism. We'd love to have you come and join us. Now, let's listen to Jewish believer Brother Mark Oshman as he brings today's Bible message.
Welcome back to our radio programs. Beginning with this session, we will commence a study relating to 10 principles for conquering stubborn habits. The first principle for conquering stubborn habits postulates this statement, quote, "If God's against it, so am I," unquote. God takes a great interest in how people live. As the sovereign of the universe, he retains the right to regulate the actions of his creatures. Throughout the Bible, therefore, God mandated people to do certain things and abstain from doing other things. In Genesis chapter 9, God spoke to Noah about guidelines under which Noah's descendants would live. God allowed human beings to eat animal life, but indicated that they should not eat the blood of that animal with its meat. He also outlawed murder, saying, quote, "Whoso sheddeth man blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man," unquote. With the Israelites, God gave them the Mosaic Law, containing 613 commandments. 248 of those statutes directed the Jews to obey certain regulations. 365 of those ordinances forbade Jews from engaging in certain practices. The Ten Commandments themselves, as found in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments illustrated how God would mix positive injunctions with negative prohibitions. Take the Fifth Commandment, for example. God required the Israelites to, quote, "honor thy father and thy mother," unquote. Yet in the Sixth Commandment and the Seventh and Eighth, Ninth, and Tenth Commandments, God issued ordinances forbidding Jews to engage in certain types of behavior. The New Testament likewise intermingled commands to do certain things with prohibitions against doing other things. Consider the subject of love as an illustration. According to John chapter 13, Jesus Christ told his disciples, quote, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another," unquote. In 1 John chapter 2, John instructed his followers to, quote, "love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him," unquote. God wants those who claim to be his people, Christians in other words, God wants them to avoid doing those things that displease him. To facilitate that end, he clearly delineated what practices he did not want his people to partake of. God demanded, for instance, that his people worship only him. The first commandment of the ten was that the Jewish people have no other gods beside him. In the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy, he reminded the next generation of Israelites to, quote, "take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them," unquote. In Psalm 81, God declared, quote, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall be no strange god in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god," unquote. No one who reads the Old Testament can doubt that God decisively opposed the practice of idolatry. God promised to send judgments upon those who disobeyed his directives. According to Deuteronomy 17, God directed the Israelites to execute anyone who exhorted them to worship the heavenly host. In 1 Kings chapter 9, he warned Solomon that if the Jews would, quote, "go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people," unquote. God followed up on that admonition. Those people in the northern kingdom who turned to idols, according to the author of 2 Kings 17, those individuals evoked the wrath of God. Here's what that writer said in 2 Kings. Quote, "The Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight," unquote. Thereby God demonstrated that he would execute judgment against those who disobeyed him. In light of who God is and in light of what he can do, hating what God hates would seem to be a wise choice. A person who chooses to adapt this mindset therefore must readjust his or her way of thinking. The first step in this readjustment involves knowing what God is against. Nobody can rely on intuition or instinct in this matter. There's only one way to discover what God hates, and that way is to study the Bible. The sixth chapter of Proverbs contains categories of behavior that God loathes. Quote, "a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren, unquote. Such a catalog would serve as a good place for people to start with when learning about what kinds of actions displease God. A proud look depicts the attitude of an individual who seeks to exalt himself above others. In John chapter 7, Jesus Christ listed pride as one attitude that defiles a person. According to 2 Timothy 3, Paul listed pride as a prevailing characteristic that would take hold during the latter days. Those who display pride in their dealings with others will suffer adverse consequences. In the book of Proverbs, God warned that pride goeth before destruction, and a man's pride shall bring him low. A lying tongue characterizes anyone who seeks to promote falsehood. God hates those who practice deception. In the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ told a group of Jews, quote, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him," unquote. The Savior added that, quote, "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it," unquote. Hands that shed innocent blood characterize those who resort to violence against innocents. God commanded the Jews of Jeremiah's day to, quote, "Execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoiled out of the hands of the oppressor, and do no wrong. Do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow. Neither shed innocent blood in this place," unquote. It appeared that the Jewish people of that time disregarded God's warning. They suffered the consequences for it when God destroyed their nation and allowed many of them to be taken captive into Babylon. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations characterized an individual who constantly plotted to do evil against others. This state of affairs persisted among the early descendants of Adam. According to Genesis chapter 6, quote, "Every imagination of the thoughts of men was only evil continually," unquote. God judged them by sending a flood against the human race, sparing only Noah and his family. "Feet that be swift running to mischief" describe people who are so eager to perpetrate evil that whenever the opportunity to do so arises, they immediately act upon it. Such an action does include spreading gossip. In Leviticus 19, God warned the Israelites, quote, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people," unquote. Solomon explained the reason underlying this admonition when he wrote in the book of Proverbs that, quote, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly," unquote. He that soweth discord among brethren is a person who seeks to destroy unity, a unity that ought to exist among those who are like-minded. In Romans chapter 16, Paul advised the congregation in Rome, quote, "Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them," unquote. A second step toward overcoming sinful habits in this matter involves adopting God's perspective. Once a person has learned what God hates, that individual must also resolve to despise the same things that God despises. An unsafe person cannot effectively undertake this step. As Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, quote, "The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be," unquote. Anyone who wants to triumph over sin has to first receive Jesus Christ the Savior. When that person does so, God will give him a new nature that is not subject to sin. Believers can overcome destructive habits by allowing that indwelling Holy Spirit to control their thoughts and their actions. According to Galatians 5, those Christians who walk in the Spirit will not fulfill the lusts of their flesh. This concludes our first Bible study about how to conquer stubborn habits. We invite you to return for future messages about the subject.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.